I don't think I knew all the reasons that I should have when I made the switch. But as I learned more and more about real estate, in particular commercial real estate, Ann, I realized that, you know, most, if not all, almost all of the Forbes 400 wealthiest people in the world invest in commercial real estate. And I knew I wanted to get into real estate and to commercial, I should say, but I didn't really know how. I didn't know where to start, how to do it. And one thing I learned was that, you know, the tax benefits of commercial real estate in the U.S. tax system are tremendous. The returns and the stability, it's quite predictable. And also, I was tired of chasing shiny objects. Now, what I mean by that is there were a lot of things I did over the years that were profitable and I made a lot of money, but I also lost a lot of money. And I realized if you're continually in startup mode, if you're continuing to start a new business over and over, it's likely that you'll, you know, make a lot of mistakes. You won't have the team and the experience and the track record. I also learned that some of the wealthiest people in the world started something when they were around 20 years old and they stuck with that right through till they were old. You know, people like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, others, Michael Dell, others, you know, who basically realized what they wanted to do and they said no to 1,000 or 10,000 distractions along the way. And some of those folks are the most successful people on the planet. And I decided I really wanted to stay focused on one thing. And it's really been wonderful to do that.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson. Welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And today, our guest is a very experienced businessman that has changed what he's done over the years. And it's going to be interesting to see and hear why Paul Moore changed from being a business person into a real estate investor. Paul Moore started with an engineering degree and a master of business. And he started in business management before going on to create his own staffing company, which he later sold and became Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year 2 years straight. He later entered the real estate market, completing 85 real estate investment and exits. He's appeared on HGTV Special, has rehabbed and managed dozens of rental properties, did a development on a waterfront in a subdivision, started two successful online real estate marketing firms before turning his expertise into other real estate development and getting into the multi-family real estate market. And Paul is the managing director of two commercial real estate funds now at Wellings Capital, as well as being an author of the book, The Perfect Investment, Create Enduring Wealth from the Historic Shift to Multifamily Housing. Welcome to the show, Paul Moore.
Hey, thanks, Anne. It's great to be here.
Well, you have certainly had a lot of experience and you have changed what you've done over the years. So what was significant in what drove you away from being in working in business over to real estate?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I knew all the reasons that I should have when I made the switch. But as I learned more and more about real estate, in particular commercial real estate, Ann, I realized that, you know, most, if not all, almost all of the Forbes 400 wealthiest people in the world invest in commercial real estate. And I knew I wanted to get into real estate and to commercial, I should say, but I didn't really know how. I didn't know where to start, how to do it. And one thing I learned was that, you know, the tax benefits of commercial real estate in the U.S. tax system are tremendous. The returns and the stability, it's quite predictable. And also, I was tired of chasing shiny objects. Now, what I mean by that is there were a lot of things I did over the years that were profitable and I made a lot of money, but I also lost a lot of money. And I realized if you're continually in startup mode, if you're continuing to start a new business over and over, it's likely that you'll, you know, make a lot of mistakes. You won't have the team and the experience and the track record. I also learned that some of the wealthiest people in the world started something when they were around 20 years old and they stuck with that right through till they were old. You know, people like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, others, Michael Dell, others, you know, who basically realized what they wanted to do and they said no to 1,000 or 10,000 distractions along the way. And some of those folks are the most successful people on the planet. And I decided I really wanted to stay focused on one thing. And it's really been wonderful to do that.
Well, you've got the experience and the rungs on the ladder. And you've got experience in commercial real estate. It's interesting that there's less investors in that space, but that's where you potentially can make more money.
Yeah, it's a lot more stable. It's a lot more predictable. And what I love about it is this. In residential real estate, if I buy or sell a house or a duplex in the U.S., at least, the value is based on the comparable properties, on the comps. In other words, if I buy a house for $300,000 and add $500,000 to fix it up, I'll have $800,000 in it. But if the neighborhood only has $400,000 houses, I'll never be able to get my money out of it. But in commercial real estate, the value formula is based on math. It's based on, you know, the formula, which is the commercial real estate value formula. It says the value is the net operating income divided by the cap rate or the expected rate of return of the investment. And the exciting thing about that is that if I can increase the numerator in that equation, or if I can decrease the denominator, the cap rate, I can essentially drive up the value. And then when I add leverage, which is, you know, debt, that even makes it go much further as far as the value creation. So it's very predictable, and it's a very exciting place to be at any time. In particular, the last several years since the recession, where we've seen a lot of value increase in the market.
And it's value in the market is very important, and returns for investors as well. I know there's a lot of us very disillusioned with what the banks can offer. And so investors are looking for other opportunities. And not everyone's comfortable buying stocks and shares, so they are happy to look at other forms of investing. And real estate traditionally has been the safe haven for a lot of people to do their investing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really has. And there's a lot of money getting out of the market right now. Yeah, as we say in the U.S., it's not our grandparents' stock market anymore. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors and deception, and it's really hard to trace the changes that are made on the ground, the changes that are made in operations, in pricing, and it's really hard to trace that to the value of the stock, of the shares, and the returns. And so commercial real estate's quite different. You can easily trace the path from the operational changes and the rent increases to the investor's return. So that's another thing we love. It's very transparent.
Do you specialize in any type of commercial real estate?
Yes. We think that there's clearly going to be a recession coming at some point. And so we were looking for some of the most recession-resistant assets. And we found that self-storage and mobile home parks were two of the best. Apartments, multifamily apartments, were another great one. And so we specialize in self-storage mobile home parks, which is trailer parks, and also a little bit of multifamily.
And I suppose that is playing safe, because when things get tough and a recession comes along, the top end of the market always suffers more than the lower end of the market. Have you found that?
Yeah. You know, there's a book by Howard Marks, and Howard Marks has got a book called The Mastering the Market Cycle. And it's very clear from his book and decades of experience that the time to take risks and the time to, you know, maybe play it a little less safe is when the market is at the bottom and you realize it's going to go up at some point. But the time to be very, very careful and to avoid risk is near the top of the market. And clearly, we're near the top of the market. And so it's a good time to not take big risks and to be conservative. And that's what we're doing by investing in these small operators in self-storage and mobile home parks. We're playing it safer because we can see that there's some latent value in these assets, and we're able to go in and see a clear path to improving them and, you know, basically getting a much better return on investment for our investors and far safer.
And do you find that it is an investment for anyone, any age group? What is the typical lifespan of one of your funds, and is it open to anyone?
Yeah, in the U.S., it's open to accredited investors. That's a certain classification of investors. Internationally, it would be available for anybody who wants to invest $50,000 or more. And we would want them to have some experience studying real estate. So we want to make sure they really understand what they're investing in, though.
Okay. And what are they getting into? Do they buying units in a fund?
Yeah, the fund is a diversified group of assets in self-storage, mobile home parks, and a few apartments. And so when somebody invests, let's say $100,000, they're essentially spreading that across over 40 deals. So it averages about $2,000, maybe $2,500 per deal is what the average is across these 40 deals or so.
Yep. And when they invest, is it for the life of the fund? Is there a life to the fund, or how does it work?
Yeah, we expect it to be about 10 years. However, we, through bank refinancing, we plan to refinance back a lot of the principal to the investors in about 5 years. But the total life of the fund is approximately 10 years.
10 years. And what happens after that? Are you creating more funds, or what's the future going to be for commercial real estate at Wellings Capital?
Yeah, great question. So at the end of 10 years, one option would be that we would just, if we still have assets that are in the fund, we would just get appraisals on those, and we would allow the investors to all cash out at that time, or all the assets would be sold by then. And when the assets are sold, of course, that allows the investors to get their principal and their gains back.
Okay. And for the life that the money is invested in the fund, for the investor, how do they get a return on their investment?
There's three different ways. Number one, they get a return from operations, and that's typically, you know, between 6% and 10%, 8% average is what we expect per year. And then second, there's a return from a principal pay down. When we refinance, part of the loan is paid down. And so that principal is basically gets back to the investor through a refinance or the sale of an asset. And then third, there's the growth in the asset value. So if an asset grows from $1 million value to $1.5 million, then all that money doesn't go to the lenders, it doesn't go to the bankers, it goes to the equity investors, and that's where they share in the growth.
Well, that sounds very, very attractive.
Yeah, we're really excited to be part of this.
So what can you see as the future for this type of fund? Is it going to be a continuing thing to find more ways to invest in commercial real estate?
Yeah, we're actually, you know, looking to the future and wondering what we'll do next. And we might be adding other asset classes like senior living. You know, the average age of the population is getting older and older with wonderful healthcare and the breakthroughs in technology. And so as people get older, they want more places to live. And so we're going to be adding senior living to the our portfolio, perhaps within a couple of years. And then we plan to continue to invest in self-storage and mobile home parks along the way as well.
Right. And do you look to partner with existing developers, or?
Yes.
I assume you don't do it yourself.
No, we used to. And we decided that if we're going to be the very best investment vehicle we can, we would be better off to partner with others. So we've been studying Warren Buffett a lot. And, you know, we believe he's the greatest investor of all time. And Warren Buffett does all of his investing through other partners. You know, he only has about 28 people on his staff. And he's got one of the largest companies in America. But he only has 28 people on his staff, and the rest are all in his partners. And so that's the sort of model we're following.
Sounds like a great model, modeling off the wealthiest man in the world.
Yes.
And I would like to know your thoughts about how the super wealthy have attained and maintained their wealth over the generations. Is this something that you could see for your investors?
Yeah, you know, in the U.S., a lot of people sell their assets before they pass away. And that's actually quite a mistake. I mean, it solves some family squabbles, I guess, from the children. But there's a wonderful provision in the U.S. tax code that allows people to pass their assets, commercial real estate, for example, onto their heirs. And the basis for the tax is reset at the time of their death, which means they usually won't have any capital gains on the gains after they pass away if the children or their heirs sell the assets. And so by doing that, it's a wonderful way to pass wealth on to the next generation. We have other things in our tax code that allow us to trade from asset A to B to C over the years and also avoid capital gains tax.
Right. Well, that sounds very good for Americans.
Yeah.
I suppose that's how the Hilton family continued on.
Yeah, they sure did. The Hilton family, the owners of Hyatt hotels as well, the Marriotts, etc. Yes.
Mm. So, well, it's been interesting to hear about the new way forward as well, with the retirement living aspect coming up as well, because we are in the baby boom era now. And are you predicting that's where most of the baby boomers are going to go to choose to live?
Yes. A lot of baby boomers are doing that. Not all. Honestly, it's very sad. 6 in 10 people who turn 65. There's 10,000 Americans turn 65 every day. 6 in 10 have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. Now, some of those own their homes or have equity in their homes, and they can sell those. And that's why the mobile home park, that's one of the reasons mobile home park investing is so attractive, because a lot of those people can reinvest their home equity into a mobile home and live in a mobile home park very cheaply. So most of those people, those 6 in 10, could never afford senior living. However, a small number, maybe 1 or maybe 2 out of 10, could actually afford a senior housing or senior living situation, or sometimes their children pay for those for them. And those are the people we'd be targeting to provide wonderful housing for if we decide to go down the senior living path, Anne.
Yeah. And are these places going to be anywhere, or are they more looking at a climate-driven area? I know in Australia more people seem to tend to go to the warmer climates.
Mm-hmm. You know, it will not be climate-driven. It will be market-driven. So we'll be looking for gaps in the market, places like we have a friend who's investing in Idaho right now. There's a lot of older people, farmers and such, who retire in that state, and they're looking for senior living. And so we'll be doing it based on the market need and the market demand in any given city.
Right. Well, it's interesting to see how investing has changed over the years, and it's great that there are more products out there that give alternatives or safe alternatives for investors to put their money in. They'll get a better return and have security at the same time. So it's great that Wellings Capital have created these commercial real estate products that are available now for investing in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you. And I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and your audience about this.
So if listeners wanted to find out more about these products, how would they get in touch with you and find out more about it?
Yeah, they can visit our website. It's wellingscapital.com. That's WELLINGS, capital CAPITAL, wellingscapital.com, and they can reach out to us there.
Well, thank you very much. It's been interesting hearing about this, and very grateful for your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. It was great to be here. Have a great day.
You too.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.